Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to journeying together on this broadcast. Let me remind you, let's not forget it. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question or your comments today on this broadcast as we face the issues. We'll be talking about today government's attack on our Constitution. Government's attack on our Constitution, or as one writer called it, the unprecedented government malfeasance. The unprecedented government malfeasance. And that's exactly what we see taking place today in America as a result of the supposed pandemic, the COVID-19. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I also forget to remind you, on tomorrow's broadcast, we'll be looking at a subject, Romans 13, COVID-19, and biblical truth. Down through the past several months, I've had literally a dozen or so people either on the broadcast or beyond the broadcast that have asked the question, what about Romans 13? That is an outline detail of God's intention for government in the world today. And there are a number of people that have said, well, if the government says do it, we ought to do it and not question it, not challenge it, not seek the truth of the Word of God. And 99.99% of the time, these Christians, multitudes that are say they're saved, will challenge the position that I have historically taken, that if it is an ungodly law, an unconstitutional law, we ought not to be obliged to obey it. We'll talk about that in detail tomorrow. What is government for? When was government set up? What does Romans 13 really say? How should we respond as Christians? So keep that on your calendar. Remind others to join the dialogue and the discussion that we might see what the Word of God says. After all, it's God's Word that counts, not opinion, a philosophy, or ideological bent. But what does the Word of God say? And that's the reason I remind you each broadcast that we do this broadcast based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's not a matter of political, ideological bent. We don't base our decisions based on denominational dogma. We do not base the decisions and the comments on this broadcast based on what some individual philosophical thought may be. But what about the Word of God? That is the whole point that we try to make on this broadcast each and every day. By the way, let me say to you this. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your calls, your comments, and cards. Thank you for those that listen each and every day faithfully that have said something in relationship to my being out for several days. I'm thankful that I'm healing well. God's still in control. And as a result of an emergency appendix removal, it is a slow journey back to strength and health, but I'm thankful that God's still on the throne and that He's giving opportunity to continue to serve Him. So I pray that these broadcasts each day will be meaningful to you and that will cause you to want to let others know what the Bible really says in relationship to many of the issues that we speak about. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on truth, based on the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said to His disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, truth is what sets us free. It is staying in the word, continuing. If you continue in our word, Jesus says, that means constantly stay in, constantly be in, constantly reviewing, reading, and prayerfully considering the word of God. He says, then you're my disciples indeed. That word indeed simply means truly, surely, you're my disciples. And it's after you stay in the word, after we maintain a journey in the word, that we'll know the truth. And it's the truth of the word of God that sets us free. And so we need to understand that. It was Jesus that said in John 14:6, I am truth. And then in John 17:17, Jesus made a declaratory statement in relationship to truth. He says, thy word is truth. And it's speaking of the truth of the word of God. So when we deviate from the word of God, we deviate from the truth of the word of God. When we deviate from understanding contextually what the word of God says and a literal interpretation, when we miss the point with that, we miss the understanding of what Romans 13, for example, is saying. But we need to understand truth. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're living in that very day, ladies and gentlemen. I realize that the Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and following. Perilous means difficult, dangerous, dark, destructive. And I believe that I would be correct in saying contextually in that text that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times have come. They are here today. So may I remind us, we need to recognize what is taking place in all of these events that are happening around us. It was the 15th century church reformer and theologian, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I challenge you to allow that to be your life's mantra, that you're going to love the truth, tell the truth, speak the truth, live the truth, love the truth, and defend the truth even to death. May I suggest that we're in the dark days of the perilous times, that we need to stick to the truth and the truth only. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We'll look at our elongated monologue and then entertain your questions and comments today. Let me remind you also, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time also carries a full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a whole full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and Honda generators for backup for your hurricane season. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic flag flies. That flagpole is about 165 feet in there and has Old Glory flying 24/7. Find that flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we think on the subject today, government's attack on our Constitution, I really believe that's where we are. But it's in this month's issue of Imprimis magazine, or newsletter, published by Hillsdale College, includes a very, very informative article by Dr. Heather McDonald. Dr. McDonald of the Manhattan Institute, and I just want to read you, if you'll allow me to, two or three brief paragraphs from this article. It's the Imprimis magazine, or newsletter, put out each month by Hillsdale College. The front issue, the front page says, 4 months of unprecedented governmental malfeasance. Dr. Heather McDonald, Manhattan Institute. The article reads this way. Over the last 4 months, Americans have lived through what is arguably the most consequential period of government malfeasance in U.S. history. Public officials' overreaction to the novel coronavirus put American cities into a deep coma. Those same officials passively, in the face of widespread rioting, threatens to deliver the coup de grace. Together, these back-to-back governmental failures will transform, hear me, Dr. Heather McDonald, Manhattan Institute, cover of this month's newsletter from Hillsdale College. It says, together these back-to-back governmental failures will transform the American polity and cripple urban life for decades in the future. Before store windows started being shattered in the name of racial justice, urban existence was already on life support. Thanks to the coronavirus lockdown, small businesses, the restaurants and shops that are the lifeblood of our cities, were shuttered, many for good, leaving desolate rows of for rent signs on street after street after street in New York City and elsewhere across America. Americans huddled in their homes for months on end, believing that if they went outside, death surely awaited them. This panic was occasioned by the epidemiological models predicting widespread, wildly unlikely familiarities from the coronavirus and fatalities on end. On March 30th, the infamous Imperial College London model predicted 2.2 million deaths in the U.S. by September 1, absent any governmental action. You've heard me talk about this, ladies and gentlemen, on the broadcast dozens of times. It was the fake, phony, false data in the model that was set up by Imperial College. That model was set up, and the data was put in the computers by Professor Ferguson, which has since been fired from the London Institute Imperial College model predictions. By September the 1st, absent government action, the prediction was an absurdity on the very face of it. Given the dispersal of the U.S. population and the fact that China's coronavirus death toll had already leveled off a few thousand, the authors of the study soon revised it radically downward. Too late, this writer says. It had already become the basis for the exercise of unprecedented governmental power. California was the first state to lock down its economy and confine its citizens to their home. Eventually, almost every other state would follow the suit, same example, under enormous media pressure to do so. Never before, listen to this statement, never before in the public officials required millions of lawful businesses to shut down and to shut their doors, throwing tens of millions of people out of work. They did so at the command of one particular group of experts, those in the media and public health fields, who viewed their mandate as eliminating one particular health risk with every means possible at their disposal. If the politicians who followed their advice weighed on a greater set of considerations, balancing the potential harm from the virus against the harm from the shutdowns, they showed no sign of it. Instead, Dr. Heather McDonald says, governors and mayors started rolling out one emergency decree after another to terminate an economic activity, seemingly heedless of the consequences. Here's a poignant statement. The lockdown mandates employed mind-numbing, arbitrary, capricious distinctions. Wine stores, pot dispensaries, who were deemed essential and thus allowed to stay open. Media offices, medical offices were required to close. Large grocery stores got the green light. Small retail establishments with only a few customers each day were out of luck. They were locked down. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer notoriously used her red pen within megastores to bar the sale of gardening seeds, gardening supplies, and paint materials, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pretty lengthy article. I've just read you the essence of the article. And the essence of the article talks about the unprecedented government malfeasance. Unprecedented government malfeasance. And malfeasance simply means that where the government is supposed to do something to protect and to help, what they have done is to harm and to destroy the American business and the literal evisceration of our Bill of Rights. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we understand what is at stake here and what is taking place, may I remind us, government malfeasance. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at the very forefront We're at the very front row. We're eyewitnesses of our government's attack on our Constitution, and more specifically, they're shredding our Bill of Rights. In the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, they have simply done that very thing. That has been, what they've done has been far greater as a financial ruin than the virus could have ever done. We have witnessed seemingly, helplessly, as the Black Lives Matter, socialist, Marxist, communist agenda, and the thugs in the street destroying property, destroying business, and absolutely wiping out that which multitudes had invested a lifetime in the building of. But ladies and gentlemen, we've watched these cities, the thugs, the BLM thugs across America, destroying our cities, vandalizing our nation's businesses, robbed and killed anyone that dares to try to stop them. And yet, listen carefully, no real law enforcement intervention to stop the anarchy. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed the rioting, the looting, the vandalism that's taking place, the burning of block after block after block, the thieves that are marauding the streets at night out of Washington State, Oregon, New York, Minnesota, and I could go on and on and on across America. Most of them do not even know the name George Floyd. Most of them do not even know anything about George Floyd. They're using this as the pretext to simply commit mayhem, robbery, and murder in our streets. But the thing, ladies and gentlemen, that absolutely causes me to be befuddled, if I can use that term, is the fact that we have silence on both sides of the aisle. The Democrats, socialists, Marxists, BLM Democrats, as well as the so-called Republicans. Silence. How do we respond to that? How should we respond today? What ought to be the mindset and the motivation in the heart and the life of a child of God? Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question and comment, please.
Yes, Doc. Good morning. I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to fill in last Thursday and Friday. And also,
I am thankful.
Let you know that I'm how thankful I am for you continuing this topic and asking the question, essentially, is America the tipping point? And if so, why? And I was just reviewing a book here that I'm going to bring to your attention this next week. It's by a former associate of mine, Lieutenant Colonel Buzz Patterson, who used to carry the football for President Clinton. The football was the device that launches our nuclear missiles in the event of a strike, and the president can never be more than an arm length away from that particular device with his Air Force aide standing there next to him. And Colonel Patterson is a man of principle, and in 2003, he wrote what he observed during the Clinton administration. And it is exactly what you're talking about, because what we experience today goes back to the 90s and the Clinton administration, and even as far back as the 30s in the Roosevelt administration, when the King and Queen of America then, Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt, ruled America, and then Bill and Hillary ruled it in the 90s, and then they set up the golf ball to be hit out of the ballpark by Barack Obama. Our government is corrupt. It is thoroughly corrupt, and our president right now, Donald Trump, was emplaced to give us an opportunity to find out, to determine just how evil and how corrupted our system is. And yes, it does. It butts up against that question from Romans 13:1. Submit yourself to authority, but I know that in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, we have ways to address the circumstance. The problem is in us. We don't have men willing to step up to the plate and say, thus saith the Lord, and oh, by the way, thus saith also our laws. We need to turn this around legally. But I hate to be so pessimistic, but reality is reality. We don't have enough men who know the Word of God and know the Constitution of the United States to be willing to stand up and do what must be done legally in accordance with our Bill of Rights and our right to First Amendment right to address our grievances to the government, to create the critical mass to change these things. We lost it because we didn't know the Word of God and didn't share the Word of God in recent decades when we could still do something. So we don't give up. We must keep fighting. But the reality is the battle is much more difficult today than it was in the 90s against the evil Clintons when the American people elected those people. They rejected the Judeo-Christian ethic to put an abortionist and a sodomite-supporting president and co-president in office, and then they returned the favor in 2008 when they empowered Barack Obama. So, you know, the government is rotten. It is thoroughly, thoroughly corrupted. There are ways to deal with it, but until Christian men who you are so rightfully trying to stir up to action actually respond, and they respond based on the Word of God, which they need to do, we're whistling in the wind. And yep. It breaks my heart because, and I think you telegraph this and the things that you say, I believe, but in my heart of hearts, I know we're past the tipping point. And we're just about out of the time that was purchased for us by the election of Donald J. Trump, given to us by God to allow us time to recognize exactly where we are, to have what pilots call situational awareness. We do not have it. You are preaching the exact gospel, both the social and the Word of God gospel, that needs to be preached to correct this problem. But tragically, too few people are prepared and able to respond. And the biggest indication of that is, in my view, the candidacy of Joe Biden, the CAD, as the head of the ticket for the Democrat Party. Somebody had to put him there. Nobody really likes old white guys right now. Well, that man standing there, he is the very symbol of the corruption of the Y chromosome in America, the very symbol of what's going to happen in America. This man isn't prepared to govern, but something or someone behind the scenes is. So who the people think they're voting for with good old Joe is not what they're going to get if and when we even have an election on November 3rd of 2020. Our nation is headed toward a chaos we can't comprehend. Either a secular chaos, just putting the Bible out of the way for a moment, which you never should do, but if you did, if you're an atheist and you don't believe in the Word of God, or if you happen to be a Calvinist and think things are going to get better and that the prophecy doesn't apply, well, if you're in that camp, you can still create a secular scenario using military threat assessment to understand where this nation is in the most dangerous condition it has ever been. It has never been in as dangerous a situation as it is right now, and understand that very soon bad things could, with a high degree of probability, take place. But when you bring the Word of God back into it, which is certain, when you take that 30% of the Bible that is prophecy and understand it in context of human history, you come to an undeniable conclusion. America is in trouble. And unless godly men led by godly pastors, as happened in the American Revolutionary War, stand up and say, you ain't going another step further, and we do it legally, it's over. And I posit that it's probably already over, or we'd have our church filled with people who understand the truth of what you're preaching, and the churches belonging to Joel Osteen and all those offspring of his and the myriad others that are out there in mega churches preaching the gospel of the Church of Laodicea, they're full. They wouldn't be if we had the ability to change things now. That's pessimistic, yes, but Jesus himself said, before I come back, things are going to be as in the days of Noah. Violence will fill the earth and wickedness shall abound. And that's where we are. We need to have situational awareness and understand that absent a Herculean response right now by men with big Christian Y chromosomes, it's over. They better listen to you, Doc. They better listen.
Yes, well, here's an article that kind of dovetails with what you've just said. And thank you for those comments. But this article's title is Something's Coming, Folks, and We Must Become Self-Dependent. The subtopic then says, Americans will need their guns and their Bibles for the foreseeable days ahead. Then the article reads, it talks about being anti-fragile. It says, I mean taking steps, making sure yourself to be not to be vulnerable to having some leftist bullies destroy everything that you work for, your job, your business, your career, your homes, your families, your security, and your physical safety, because you're not marching in lockstep with the violent communist ideals, end quote. Quote, something is coming, folks, something much bigger than we as individuals can fight against, whether that something is medical, economic, societal, political, or some combination thereof, that is the point. Something is coming. Whatever this something will be is almost a sure bet. It will nullify our constitutional rights of religion, freedom of speech, defense, and other crucial issues. Interpret that as you will, but don't ignore it and its ramifications. This something may also impact your financial security if it hasn't already done so, and even your food supply. Do you really want to be vulnerable in the days to come? Question mark. And that touches on, it's a pretty lengthy article, and it touches on exactly what we were just speaking about with having gone, as you and I have said, beyond the tipping point. But I've said so many times now, in fact, as of today, I believe America has about 105 days to determine if we want a capitalistic constitutional republic with a representative form of government, or if we want the communist style, the Marxist approach to life and living that will put America in the same position as Venezuela. So you're exactly right. All we can do is keep on praying, keep on witnessing, keep on keeping on with what God gives us wisdom to do.
Let me ask you one quick question. You said something is coming, something is coming. Well, you know what it is. I'm holding in my left hand right now a book written by a fellow, Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Do you know him?
I think I know it.
The title of his book is The Coming Antichrist. Do you think maybe that's what you're alluding to, and that other people may have a shadowy concept of about what's coming? Do you think that man of lawlessness is now emerging from the shadows?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the next thing on the horizon with the rapture of the church and the stepping on the scene of the Antichrist to rule the world with an iron communist Marxist fist, if you will. And everything that we call near and dear today, as far as our freedoms, our Bill of Rights, will all be absolutely eviscerated and no more. So we need to look up, lift up our heads, because the Bible says our redemption draweth nigh. But thank you so much for your input.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got about 1 minute before the top of the hour news. And so I want you to understand, we're talking about government's attack on our Constitution. So how is that possible? Well, number one, as the article that I just read excerpts from the Hillsdale College newsletter that comes out each month, where Dr. McDonald said that there's unprecedented governmental malfeasance. And it's not just in what we see from the leadership role in the House and the Senate, but government malfeasance, because all of our U.S. government-controlled schools, colleges, and universities have been absolutely brainwashing generation after generation after generation. So therefore, these little thugs that you see in the street holding up signs, Black Lives Matter, has nothing to do with the color of skin. It has all to do with a Marxist agenda to overthrow, to tear down, to destroy the fundamental foundation of our United States of America in our Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We've got about 1 minute at the top of the hour news. Be right back. Don't turn your dials as we continue to face the issues.
And Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.